Welcome to Superlative. I am your podcast host, Ariel Adams. In each episode, you will meet someone who has inspired or takes inspiration from today's wristwatch industry. Every week, let's dive deep into the world of crafting exotic timepieces from the people who dream them up to the people who dream of them. It's time to get started and meet today's guest. Hey everyone, Ariel Adams here with the Superlative Podcast. My guest today is Alessandro Ficarelli. He is the Chief Marketing Officer of Panerai. Alessandro, how are you doing today?
Hi, ciao. Hello everyone, all fine. I'm here in my office in Milan.
I'm good. You know, there's so much to say about Panerai and to talk about your job. You have been someone who has had a position at Panerai for a fair number of years. Panerai, I hope you'll agree, it's both a young brand and an old brand, right?
Yeah, actually, I agree, because at the end, it's a journey that started in 1860 in Florence with the Panerai family and the saga with the first watch shop in Florence. It's an history of value, of technical contents, of mechanical innovation. But at the end, the first watch, the first prototype presented for the Italian Navy was in 1935. But till 1993, was covered by military secret. So at the end, only thanks to the Richmond Group who bought the brand in 1997, at the end, in 1998, there was the international launch of the brand. So actually, there is a long history, an authentic history, an history of value, and then we can go through and talk it about. But at the end, it's a young brand, because if you think that in 1998 there was international launch of this watch, that was a big watch, at the end it was a kind of pocket watch on the wrist at the time, 44 millimeter size, is a relatively young brand.
One of the things that has always attracted to me about the Panerai story is just how much there is to talk about it, right? Like, if you are someone that both likes watches but also likes what I call gossip or brand stories, I mean, there are so many interesting stories and things to say about Panerai. Going back a long time, it's kind of like the endless conversation. And for someone who's in marketing, that's great, right?
Yeah, but actually, that's great. You know, I joined Panerai in 2005, so this year is my 19th year in the brand.
Wow,
I love
congratulations.
The brand. Yeah, thank you. It's a brand that I love, and it's a brand that is engaging, because at the end, there are so many stories, anecdotes behind every watch. And then, as panelists used to say, Panerai is much more than just a watch. Because at the end, it creates this sense of belonging, the sense of community. And then you talk about the history, the value. And then, as I was saying before, also because the history was covered by military secret until 1993, is an history where every year we discover a piece of the puzzle. Because the history that we knew a few years ago is different compared to what we know today, thanks to some evidences, invoices, new information that we found in the last few years.
I sort of segment for myself Panerai into three major phases in terms of the brand. Many brands have this where they go through different phases. It's the same name, but they're making different watches for different types of customers at different price points. And the overall phases are, I guess you could say, the original wristwatch making Panerai, of mainly the 1940s, which was a collaboration with Rolex. And yeah, then you have the pre-Vendome Panerai that was a wristwatch maker in the 1990s, tool watches in Florence with a couple of very creative people doing some amazing things. It was discovered by some important people like Sylvester Stallone. And then the later phase, the current phase, which is the Richemont phase, where the brand has expanded into really not only a high-end mark, but a dynamic watchmaker with lots of in-house movements, complications, fashionability, men's and women's models, and things like that. Would you overall agree to those three phases?
But yeah, confirm the three phases. Also because actually, again, as we were talking before, it's a journey that started in 1860, But then at the beginning was the Panerai family was involved in a watch shop in Florence. Then the first innovation based on luminescent material. First of all, applied on military instruments because Panerai was the supplier, an official supplier of the, at the time, the Royal Italian Navy. Now, of course, the Italian Navy, no more Royal. But starting from 1935, the first prototype presented to the Italian Navy that was based, of course, on Rolex case and movement that was given in exclusivity to Panerai, where Panerai family applied the luminescent material, the Radimir, this calf leather bracelet that was a waterproof bracelet. And then the story of the first watches started there. But I agree with you, that with this evolution from Radimir to Luminor, that at the time they were named that were used to be associated to the luminescent material, not even to the shape of the case, because Luminor was associated to the tritium, and Radimir to the radium base powder used on the dial and on the hands. Then the Mare Nostrum, the Egiziano. But then the second phase came in the pre-Vendome watches with this, actually, there were two editions, more wearable because it was a Luminor 44 millimeter, when in the past was only 47 millimeter or even more because the Egiziano is a 60 millimeter huge watch, and the Mare Nostrum 42 millimeter. Then you know very well the story with Sylvester Stallone, when Sylvester Stallone seen for the first time these watches, took these watches to Hollywood, to his friends. So it's a second phase. And then since 1997, we entered the third phase with at that time, Vendome Group, and then, of course, Richemont Group. And then we reopened the first historic boutique in 2002 in Florence. We opened the first manufacturer in Neuchâtel. So there are key moments that defined a new era, a new development of the brand. Because when Panerai was bought by Richemont Group, at the end, it was a one watch, big size, with an history to rediscover. With a functional design, with this luminosity, simple design, and then we worked on all these assets that create the differentiation of the brand itself. And still today, we start from the history, from our archive, to develop the new innovation. Because Panerai is also a history of innovation, of patents. On patents on the luminescent material, on the crown protecting device that is emblematic and distinctive, a signature of Panerai design, or the wire loop strap attachment on the Radiomir case, on the sandwich dial, the 12, 3, 6, 9 dial that is very recognizable. This is one of the beauty of Panerai watches, because you can even remove any Panerai logo from the dial, but you can recognize that it's a Panerai watch. It is unique compared to what you can find in the market.
Thank you for that information. I want to point something out which has always intrigued me, and that is how Panerai watches came about and what resulted in one of the prettiest functional watches probably ever designed. The goal, of course, at the time was, as you said, to make a military instrument. It was not a bunch of guys saying, hey, let's make a beautiful wristwatch people are going to love. Like, that's not what they were thinking. They were thinking this world of underwater exploration, which is intriguing and very sexy at the time and dangerous, needs a wristwatch that will work underwater. If your wristwatch dies underwater, you can die. And this was a big reality at the time. So to tell a trained professional, this instrument is designed to keep you alive was a very serious promise. And any wristwatch operating underwater at the time needed to do this. And it was quite an exotic thing at the time. And as you said, it had to be very legible. There's these stories about working in murky conditions where you can barely see your wrist in front of your eyes. And anyone who's been a diver has been in those waters where visibility is very bad. And you can imagine not being able to see your dial. And then, of course, it was for military and durable purposes. And this combination of Italian instrument culture, underwater exploration, military purpose, and waterproofness resulted in this enduringly beautiful thing that between the Swiss and the Italians was created and became such an icon. Do you ever think about what they did so right? Because it's not the only time that people have made a tool like this, but I'm just curious, Why was it so pretty?
But actually, the starting points, again, the functional design, but also the Italian design with the purity of shape, this is really key. And then you were mentioning being a military watch, also one of the features to be tough, reliable, is something that also it reflects also the development of today, because we don't need in our watches special decoration. Also on the finishing of our calibers is brush finishing with polish edges, so it's, we keep this simple military look that is a strategic choice in order to give continuity with the past. And that's why also the collection, the full collection that we have today, are just a reinterpretation of the historic watches from the 40s, 50s, and 60s, like with the Luminor 2, the submersible that at the end is the son of the Egiziano, or the Radiomir that is based on the first Panerai watch, that again was based on a Rolex case. But then there was an evolution, because then with the solid lugs attachment. But then you were talking about the functionality, but even the idea of having an 8 days caliber with the Angelus caliber, that was an 8 days caliber from pocket watch to be used on the watch in order to use the crown less and less, just once per week to rewind the watch, was a very smart idea. And again, because that was the quest of functionality. And that's why the beauty of Panerai is that authentic history, an history of value, an history of innovation. And till today, we continue with this, with the laboratory of the idea that at the end is the soul of our manufacturer and also my team here in Milan with the designer, a product manager, where we think about new technical solution, innovative material, when always the objective is to be functional and offer something unique and associated to the brand DNA, because that's the beauty of the brand itself.
There's a word I heard a number of years ago that I always thought was kind of charming, and then other brands have had their own version of it, but it was a Paneristi, and the idea was this particular type of fan. And I remember Panerai as being probably the first brand that officially supported and celebrated an enthusiast collector community. You were very early on in doing this, and you were lucky that there was a term for these people that liked Panerai watches. Talk a little bit about, because you were there at the time, the historic ability to say, as a company, we're going to not only celebrate this collector group, but work with them. And how has that shaped the nature of the brand since? Because I really do think that that was a pivotal moment in the brand to say, we are publicly and officially celebrating a kind of a collector community.
Okay, the beauty of Paneristi community is that this is a spontaneous community. And that's really, so we don't control them. We celebrate them. We are in contact with a few of them. We listen to their feedback. Of course, it reflects also the client-centric philosophy of the brand. Every year they organize this P-Day, that is their annual gathering, and one of the night is organized by Panerai, where is also the opportunity for us, and actually our CEO Jean-Marc Pontrouet is presenting a preview of the novelties and the talk with all of them, and is an opportunity to share and to meet each other. But also, let me say, above all in the last years, also thanks to the social or WhatsApp, we are in contact with a lot of Paneristi. Even this morning, I was receiving some messages from Paneristi, and that some of them are also friends, where they send me the picture of the day, the wrist shot of the day, or they send me information. They ask me for information about watches. We share images about bracelet. So again, Paneristi, Panerai is much more than just a watch. It's a sense of community, it's friendship, it's sense of belonging. And the beauty of Paneristi community that it started 24 years ago, let me say, next year there will be the 25th anniversary.
Right, long time.
Yeah, long time. And then the beauty that there are almost 40 groups of panelisti, local panelisti around all the world. And so there are the Italian panelisti, the German panelisti community that is very active, of course, the American, but also in Asia. And this year, the PDA will be, last year was in Lisbon, this year will be in Kuala Lumpur. So every year they define a different location where to celebrate their annual, their anniversary, let me say, their annual gathering. But then they have also some meeting all year long, and the beauty is that they meet and they share the love and the passion for watches, and again, it's much more than just a watch. But we don't control them. That's the beauty. It's spontaneous. So we listen to the feedback, positive, negative. There are someone that is more purist. They want just mechanical and wound, big size watches, and of course we listen to their feedback, and we are very proud to have such a community of Panerai enthusiasts.
What was it about Panerai at the time, 24 years ago, and today, that makes you open to working with them like that? Because yes, maybe today more brands like to work directly with consumers. But at the time, especially, and for many years, most brands just voted not to do something like that. And I'm just wondering, what was different at the culture or leadership of Panerai that made it so that you said, no, we're going to do it even though others don't? And I agree, it was a good idea.
But actually, you cannot even imagine how many brands call me and ask me, how can we create a community of fun? Actually, there is not a special receipt, and of course, it's not made by us. Once again, the beauty is that it's a spontaneous community, and that's why it's also a long-lasting community, because it's spontaneous, it's not controlled by us, and it's like for Ferraristi, you have also other community in other territories, not only watches, and that is they are united by this a common passion, and actually because of the exclusivity, because of the nature, let me say, of the brand, because the brand, because of the also the celebrity, but is still today when I travel, when I'm also in a lounge in the airport, I can see people looking at the watch. Ah, what is the model? Ah, you're wearing the 760. Ah, let me see the patina of your bronze watch. So it's something that creates a sense of community, even of people that you don't know, but you soon become friends, a part of the same group. And it's not something easy to create, actually impossible if you want to create by scratch and if you want to control it. But this is not our objective. And sorry, just to say, because it's important also.
Yeah.
To pamper our customer, because the beauty also since the beginning, because of the size of the brand itself, and also because, as you were saying, the brand is, even if it's old, is on the other side, is relatively young. As I had in the past, now we grow, of course, there was a growing of the brand, but it's a small size that we are always in contact with the clients. And that's the beauty still today, even if we are bigger compared to 20 years ago, we kept this spirit and this enthusiasm and this sense of belonging.
Fantastic. And from a business perspective, I imagine it's been very good. This understanding that working direct with community, this has helped you push the needle in a real way. Like, there is a business case for giving this much attention, right?
Yeah, of course. Then, of course, that our objective is to retain, to pamper our existing clients, but also to attract new clients, and also to have more clients in our universe. That's why I used to say, yes, the panelists are very important, but also all clients have the same importance and are worthy to our greatest attention. Is again about our client-centric approach of the brand and for what we do, from product development to marketing to communication, to hospitality in our boutique, because of course in the last years there was also an evolution of our retail network. Everything is thought to offer the best client experience to our customers. This is key. And also, the objective is to attract a diverse clientele, mirroring the specific aesthetic codes of each aesthetic line. So we have Luminor, for example, is our core business with a wide range of function and material. Is Panerai platform to target both historical and also new clients that are attracted by this emblematic design. But also, let me say, the Luminor 2, that is a smaller and thinner Luminor 2, gave us the opportunity to attract more clients, even if maybe the purists prefer big size, thicker watches. At the end, we know that thanks to Luminor 2, we have been able to attract also clients that loved Panerai design, but they were thinking that that the watch was too big for their wrist. Then we have Submersible that is associated with our professional benefiting from high-tech material, targeting adventurous explorer, sport active clients, and then Radomir that is focused on timepieces with historic association, targeting mainly conservative achievers. So is at the end, also thanks to our collection, we are able to offer more option to our clients, even if, let me see, Panerai remain a brand that is made of masculinity, tough, reliable watch, big size watches, because our average size is anyway 44 millimeter on Luminor and 45 millimeter on Radomir. Then we offer an assortment that goes from 38 millimeter on the Luminor 2, 40 millimeter on the Luminor, till the 47 millimeter on both Luminor and Submersible, in order to offer more option also to clients and prospect, let me say, but our core target remain core size, the 44 millimeter, that anyway is a big size, because remain our the point of differentiation of the brand.
I mean, for me, and I'm someone that was first introduced to Panerai 20 years ago now, it's a 44 millimeter wide brand. I'm okay with Luminor or Radomir or a few other shapes. I'm okay with that. But that sweet spot is 44 millimeters. But you're right. In order to make your iconic look appealing to a greater variety of customers, you have to cater to differentiating tastes. For a long time, there was, sort of a European arrogance, as they called it, where you said, Panerai has to be 44 millimeters. Someone else out there might say, but I love it at 40 millimeters. Why can't you just do it there? A long time ago, you just wouldn't have done it. Nowadays, you're more open-minded and you recognize there's no point to be stubborn. There are, as you said, purists, but there's also a wisdom in adopting a look, because that type of hybridization can uncover new things that you never knew existed, right?
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, it doesn't mean that we are going to square watches or something that is not associated to the brand design. because, of course, it's key always to respect the brand DNA, the origin of the brand, our design and our history. Always projecting the brand to the future, but projecting the future means also working on innovative material, let me say, like Carbotech. You know, Carbotech, at the end, you have a black look, but at the end, you have a watch that is much lighter. And then you have clients that are looking for lightest watch compared to a Luminor in steel that is a solid watch and stuff. So we go from steel to titanium, to new technologies, to Carbotech, to the BMG. So that give us the opportunity to also offer different products with different look, but also with different weight, so it's a matter of design and functionality itself.
I want to point out BMG, and for those that don't know, that's bulk metallic glass. That's a complicated thing to explain very quickly, but it's a form of metal that is shaped differently. And according to some people, it really is a material that the luxury industry, including jewelry and watches, is going to make use of. But it's still quite rare. Other than you, Audemars Piguet has used it very sparingly. Tell me about this material. Is it going to have a big mainstay? Is it going to be like ceramic, or is it going to still stay sort of this exotic thing?
Let me say that we have we continue to work on the improvement of the BMG tech. Bulk metallic glass. We strongly believe that bulk metallic glass is an asset. Is an asset because of its properties.
Yeah.
Because at the end, once again, we come back to the story about the functional design and the functional evolution and the innovation. And if the more we work on the scratch resistant, on the watches that are shock resistant, more than even scratch resistant, for watches that are have to be, as we say, they have to be tough as Panerai watches, reliable. This is something that is not going to be just exotic material. We keep it exclusive in the, our assortment. So far, we have on two edition on the submersible. We plan to have more watches with BMG in the future. But of course, as you know, we prefer always to keep exclusivity. We don't have a wide assortment. We prefer to manage a limited number of references, also because exclusivity is also at the center of Panerai strategy. But anyway, all this material like BMG Tech, Carbotech, and all the, where we put the tech naming of the watches on the material are asset for the brand. We are going to continue to invest on them in the future.
This is Ariel Adams of A Blog to Watch here with a message from watch retailer and distributor Grenons of Newport about a fantastic watchmaker and where you can find them in the United States. Alexander Shorokov is an esteemed Russian watchmaker who produces handcrafted timepieces from his home in Germany. In addition to being a prolific watch designer, he's also a trained architect and artist. One of Alexander Shorokov's favorite terms to express his own artistic interest is avant-garde. The Alexander Shorokov brand is exclusive because it only produces a few thousand watches per year, and yet the company's timepieces started only about $1,500. Despite modest prices, watches at Alexander Shorokov are assembled by a single watchmaker who personally signs the performance certificate of each timepiece. Many Alexander Shorokov watches also feature elaborate hand engraving and decoration, another compelling virtue of the brand rarely found elsewhere at this price point. Thanks to many years of developing fans, most Alexander Shorokov limited edition products sell out immediately. The brand is, however, still relatively unknown in the United States, as most enthusiasts have yet to discover the Alexander Shorokov name. Check them out for yourself. Quirky, cool, rare, and always proper timekeepers, Alexander Shorokov watches are available in limited quantities from select U.S. dealers such as Grenons of Newport in Rhode Island and Right Time in Denver. To learn more, visit the alexander-shorokov.de website. That's alexander-shorokhoff.com. Thanks. Talk a little bit about the department that researches these materials. As you said, coming up with new materials or the best way to use existing materials and so forth is a major part of where the innovation is. Is this team in Milan? Is it in, you know, Neuchâtel? Is it does it have its own department? It sounds like an exciting place to be. Talk about this side of the brand.
Yeah, in Neuchâtel, you know that our manufacturer is in Neuchâtel. We opened our first manufacturer in 2002. In 2014, we moved to a new manufacturer, and this year is the 10th anniversary of the new manufacturer and the beauty of the new manufacturer that we put in the same building, all the in the same location, all the various skills involved in watchmaking, and including the laboratory of idee. The laboratory of idee with the research and innovation department that together with the creative team that is here in Milan work are at the center, let me say, of our creativity and innovation. So we work together because at the end the product manager designer are based in Italy, but all the engineer, the watchmaker, there is a team of engineer that are actually whose job is scouting new material, new technologies that are coming from other industries, so not from the watch industries. And this is where some of these materials are coming from, or like the T-Ceramitech that we are launching this year in the new collection, Luna Rossa. And they propose so many alternative materials, but, you know, I was talking about Luna Rossa because also in the past we did a lot of tests on different kind of carbon or materials that are used on, for example, for building the boat of Luna Rossa. And actually, it doesn't mean that what is working on a big boat is working on a wristwatch. And when you work on new materials, the level of failure is much higher compared to the other development. But that's the beauty, because the beauty is to test, to scout, test, and find something unique and different, with different properties. Because at the end, it is a mix of look, because it's also true that you have to find something that has a different look compared to the steel or ceramic, but also the properties are key. So working on the toughness, on the lightness, and all the other elements that are related to again comfort and the technical properties.
Is that the same team that works on the high complication watches? I'm talking about the tourbillons and the various calendars and things like that, or is that a different team?
But we work together, because actually the designer that work on the movement, on the complication, on the tourbillon, on the minute repeater, on the perpetual calendar, is always the same team. So we have the research and development team with the designer. They work together also on this development. But then in the manufacturer, there is a different, let me say, space dedicated to the haute horlogerie, where only some specific, super specialized watchmaker can work on this high complication. But in terms of research and development, is the same team where we have experts dedicated to this caliber, because then there is the movement development department, then also the one dedicated to the materials. So they are different engineers, but in the same department, in the same team, we work all together on this development. Because every time, it's like the annual calendar, the perpetual calendar, the objective for Panerai is to have, once again, to develop our caliber with our design, a design that fit with the Luminor design, keeping the simplicity of Panerai dial, as it was for the annual calendar, the perpetual calendar as well. No correctors. Having all the setting from the crown.
Which was great, by the way. I noticed that right away.
Yeah, thank you. Then having all the information on the perpetual calendar, because on the perpetual calendar, you have the day, you have the day of the week, you have the month, the leap year, then we have the power reserve as well, and the year. But at the end, what you need every day is on the front. But we decided to have what you don't need every day on the back, and then put the small oscillating weight, so the off-center oscillating weight, in order to give visibility to the other information. In this way, we could keep the Panerai design also on the dial, or on the annual calendar, where we put the month in this disc that is rotating on the outer part of the dial. So the objective is always to find different solution to keep Panerai DNA.
Are these halo products, or is there a serious part of the market which is buying these exotic high complication Panerais? Because I love them and many people do. But, you know, a brand like Panerai could be totally fine without selling something much more expensive than a fancy chronograph. These are a different level of passion and enthusiasm and art and engineering. Explain a little bit about why it's important for the brand today to have this, not just high-end, but ultra-high-end segment, which is producing innovative and original mechanical art.
Yeah, it's true that Panerai was born as military watch, end-wound caliber, very simple, not even the seconds, was our minute watches, then small second, then the importance of power reserve. But when we started to add a complication, let me say with the first in-house caliber that we presented in 2005, that was the P2002, the idea was to add useful function. GMT because our clients are traveling. We have global clients traveling, so the second time zone. And the second time zone, we did it in a smart way with a quick correction of the hour. So when traveling, just pulling the crown at the first position. Then long power reserve for end-wound caliber, because end-wound was related to the history of the brand. 8 days power reserve and visible with linear power reserve. So winding the watch once per week. GMT with the AM/PM indicator to recognize if the watch was in, if the on time was AM or PM. Stop balance wheel, the second reset for the synchronization of the time. We always talk about functional and functions, functional design and functions that are useful, always to be associated with the history. Then we move to our caliber, and then we build what we used to say the pyramid of the caliber that goes from basic caliber till tourbillon, till the minute repeater, that show also the capacity of our manufacturer of producing high-end caliber. And actually, when we presented the first tourbillon, let me say, more than 15 years ago, at the end, we presented a tourbillon that was in stainless steel. And the beauty of this tourbillon, that we were not even showing the rotation of the tourbillon cage on the front. I don't know if you remember, there was just dot that was rotating in the small.
And it was also, and it was like a horizontal thing. It was like a different axis point.
Yeah, the cage of the tourbillon rotating on the axis that is perpendicular to the one of the balance wheel that was patented by Panerai to better compensate the error due to the gravity. But for the first tourbillon, we were not even showing the cage. The cage was visible just on the back.
Yeah,
and they said to keep the dial as clean as possible.
It was way better. It was great. It was great.
It was great. It was understatement. It was very Panerai. Then we started with this grid that are technical to show also the artwork that anyway is technical to give this engineer phase, engineering phase of the watch itself. So in the end is thanks to this innovation, we realized that our clients were asking also for something higher in terms of complication, high-end. And we saw that there were opportunity to please our clients offering this special complication. And that's why we have an assortment today that goes from basic caliber, from end-wound to automatic, to chronograph with the flyback, with the regatta, with the seconds, with the countdown. We see monopoussoir till going to annual calendar, perpetual calendar, and tourbillon. Of course, the quantities are limited on these segments because actually we want to keep exclusivities, and these are watches that you can find only in our monobrand store.
Yes, of course, it's just going to be a rarefied part of the brand. But for those people that haven't looked into them, look into some of the high complication Panerais. You'll be pleasantly surprised at the combination of art and I'll call them instrumental design, which I appreciate.
Yeah, let me say that most of the time we present these watches in one-to-one appointment, in dedicated roadshow. It's not even something that we highlight that much even in our boutique, because the production is so limited that is also they are presented in a different way, in a more, customized way to our clients.
By appointment only.
Exactly.
I want to talk about the changing mentality of the young buyer. 20 years ago, the mentality of the young buyer, while of course there's a lot of similarities, of course had differences to that of the young buyer today. And I think everyone agrees that luxury brands need to appeal to the sensibility of the young buyer. What, in your opinion, has been the key differentiators of the young mentality today versus 20 years ago?
But let me say, now all the information, the availability of information that we have today is different compared to the one of 25 years ago. You know very well. And let's look also at the data that we analyze about the traffic of our website. The traffic website by mobile. That is crazy. Of course, we have more traffic on our website through mobile than in our boutique in all the stores. So you have access of it to information that you didn't have in the past. Now all the clients are more informed. You have access to a lot of information through the website, but also through the social media. So it's completely different the way to access to every brand. And actually, it's not only for luxury, it's for everything, because it's something that we live every day. Then let me say that also thanks to what happened to the pandemic, there was all an acceleration of the digital transformation of all the brand. And this was good because everyone is investing more and more on the digital solution, and also we are working on the constant updating of our website in order to offer better and better customer experience, because then we talk about customer experience that is key, but it's from the boutique, but it's online, offline, with all the information that we offer to the clients. And we know that the young clients are even more sensitive to all this information. We all know very well, because this is something that we live ourselves in all the territories and all for all the industries, again, not only for the luxury brand.
And thinking about that same topic, that has added an additional function to the marketing department. 20, 25 years ago, the goal was, let's tell everyone we made a new watch. Now, in addition to doing all that, you have to say, here's why we exist as a brand. Here's why each one of these products exists. Here's why you should buy this one or that one. And here's how to keep informed with all the cool things we're doing. And brands have had to become media companies as well, building and telling a story. Panerai, along with other brands, have had to incorporate this. Talk a little bit about how that has changed the fundamental nature of running a luxury watch company like Panerai today.
I agree with you. It's completely changed. But in the past, there was the launch of the year, and then there was the advertising based on the launch of the year. There was the peak season with the launch at that time with SHH. Now, let me say that we have more and more touch point with the clients. That is not only about novelties, but it's about opening, it's about sharing different moments of the brands. We created the program of experiences with the clients. That's our engaging moment where we create unique moment of attention and attachment with the clients with this event that are, let me say, event plus plus, where the clients leave experience that money cannot buy. By buying this very limited special edition, they have access to this unique experience let me say money cannot buy. There are more opportunities of storytelling. That's why today, more than ever, is key to talk about the history, to show what there is behind the watch, not just presenting the watch. And that's why is important the marketing, but all the digital and the client care department and the client experience department, in order to offer the best seamless experience to our clients. So the job is completely different compared to the past. In the past, there was media, most of it was offline media. Now you have different kind of media, different assets. Also at local level is not the same, because every market has different maturity. There are some markets that are still a lot involved in with print, other where the print has been all the brand investment has been moved to the online. So at the end, the marketing has changed a lot. The way of investing and communicating and being in contact with the client has changed, because now we have much more point of contact with the client. That is the beauty, let me say. Yeah.
Thank you for that. I've always wondered, though, where the money is supposed to come from to pay for all that, because a lot of brands, especially when their business model was constructed, was more like a manufacturer. And of course, they had to design products. But this constant need to assert the brand and communicate about the brand and the new products requires a significant investment. Obviously, that's spoken about, especially in groups like Richemont and elsewhere. What are people saying about how to restructure businesses so that all these new types of investments can be attended to? Because, you know, again, compared to 20, 25 years ago, it frankly just costs more money to make a desirable watch company.
But, I agree with you, it's changed a lot. But first of all, you need to have a strong product, because you can have a strong marketing with a poor product, and then it could work, but at the end, I don't know how long it works, because having a
customers buy once and never again. That's what happens when there's bad product.
And then continue to be in contact with customer. The beauty of the brand like Panerai is that when a client enter our ecosystem and start to know more and more about our watch, is more interesting, is moving, is buying the second collect, the second watch, the third watch, because it creates a passion that is unique. So it's, our objective is not to do to deliver watches to the point of sales, just to do sell-in, but to have watches on the wrist and having clients that are rapping, talking about Panerai and showing with proudness their watches. So, of course, all the brand moves from product-centric or brand-centric to the client-centric philosophy, but this is a must. But you can invest in strong marketing, but if you don't have a strong product with super quality, because the quality is the must. That's why we continue to invest on the technical improvement of our watches. It is something that maybe you don't see today, but is an investment that you do step by step for the future.
I think you bring up such an important point, and then we'll move on to Watches and Wonders. And that point is that in order to be a successful watch brand today and in the future, you need to be good at so many things at the same time. Of course, it begins with making a beautiful, well-made product that people agree is worth wearing, but you can't just do that. But without that, you really have no chance of success. So you'll need more than just that, but that is the absolute foundation upon which every major brand starts, and I'm sure you'll agree. We're recording this show prior to Watches and Wonders 2024, but the intention is that you'll be hearing this after the show. So maybe we can talk a little bit about some of the new things. And I know that some of it is based upon the continuing relationship with America's Cup and a particular team. I guess talk about this relationship, and then how does this segue into some of your novelties this year?
Yeah, so the main team in terms of product marketing and communication launches will be dedicated to the strong Italian story, the bond between the two legends of the sea, so Panerai and Luna Rossa. So entering Panerai world in Watches and Wonder, you cannot miss Luna Rossa boat and our association to the America's Cup. The idea is to have continue to develop technical watches, both drawing inspiration from technologies and materials used in the America's Cup. Inside the Luna Rossa, in the Luna Rossa team, and with which we continue to be official sponsor, because we started our sponsorship in 2019. This is the second campaign of sponsorship with the Luna Rossa. So we were sponsored for the 36th and now for the 37th America's Cup. And is a synergy that is a journey in pushing the limit of performance. It's an opportunity for us to present new materials. It's a collaboration that reflects the pillars of the Panerai identity, because Panerai is four main territories of expression: the world of the sea, and you can see this association with Luna Rossa, the Italianity, modern heroes, and then the commitment on crafting instrument and reliable instruments, tested in the toughest condition. So we are going to present a new material this year. We present a new material, the T-Ceramitec, And T-Ceramitech is inspired by a material originally used in high-performance competitive environment, also in some elements used in the Luna Rossa boat, that have been adapted and integrated to be used on the watches. We had 7 years of research and development. We were talking before about the importance of research and innovation, and starting in advance, above all, when we talk about new materials new calibers, and then we filed a patent application for this a titanium ceramization process through electrolytic plasma oxidation. So it's a kind of transformation of the material starting from titanium that is having the same characteristic of ceramic.
And that would be high scratch resistance.
Exactly. The beauty is also that the material is blue.
Oh.
So the case is blue, and the process transformed the titanium alloy surface into a dense ceramic layer, and the result that is 44% lighter than steel, and has a fracture toughness that is 10 times higher than traditional ceramic.
So what shade of blue?
Is a matte blue.
Okay.
And, that's super nice also because we collect, the idea was also to associate ourselves with the colors of the sea, also because of the association of the sea world. And the blue case was something that we were missing in our assortment also because
yeah,
you know, blue
that's true.
Is a color associated to Panerai. And so we are going to present two submersibles, 44, 44 millimeter in diameter, with this T-ceramic case, one with the blue dial and the other one with the white dial, with a red small second hands that is inspired by Luna Rossa, and then the Luna Rossa inscription on the dial, and the B-material bracelet in blue with the red band with the Italian, with the white Luna Rossa logo that is associated to Panerai. And the beauty is that the submersible Luna Rossa will be also water resistant up to 500 meters, so 50 bars. And so the idea is to upgrade step by step all our submersible watches and go all to have the minimum water resistance from 300 meters to 500 meters. And as you know, in our manufacture, we test all our watches for a water resistance that is at least 25% higher than the one that we indicate. So is we work a lot, again, as I was saying before, on the technical improvement, but it's also in terms of design. You will see this material is unique and also in terms of touch and feel, on top of the priorities on the lightness and the resistance to the fracture.
I want you to talk a little bit more about the world of sailing as well as competitive sailing. I've been fortunate to be invited to a variety of America's Cups events because it's just a magnetic experience for watch brands. I mean, I agree. When you go there and you see the boats and you understand what it's required to be competitive and you know the stories of the sailors and you see the passion for the people, like you're like, wow, I got to be a part of this. But specifically for you and for Panerai, talk a little bit about what you like about the America's Cup and the entire marketing experience with competitive sailing, and how will that maybe further find a way into Panerai product? Because yes, the world of being on top of the water is a little bit different than the world of being underwater, and that could have some aesthetic novelty to it.
Yeah. You know, this Panerai is this historic association with the world of water, as you were saying, underwater and also above water, because at the end, in the 40s, started the project of the Mare Nostrum, that was the watch that was made for the officer's deck of the Italian Navy. And then in our assortment, when we define our assortment, our for collection, we used to say that if Luminor and Submersible are the watches underwater, we used to say that the Radiomir is the watch of the captain, so above water. This is also how we differentiate the collection also in terms of marketing, in terms of visual. And that's why also on the watches we have different water resistance. So Luminor and Submersible, much higher water resistance. We need less, let me say, water resistance. They give us also the opportunity to have thinner watches on the Radiomir, even more on the Luminor 2. America's Cup. America's Cup America's Cup was born in 1851. This year we will have the 37th America's Cup. It's beauty is one of the oldest sport complete. Let me see, the oldest sport competition in the world, because it started 50 years before the first Olympic Games of the contemporary history. And even if it's an historic competition, at the end is one of the most technically advanced competition. Look at the material, the speed, this flying boat. It's something, as you were saying, is amazing, the experience. And then working with the team, we are in close contact with Max Irena, with all his experience. He participated to 8 America's Cup. And we work directly with him on the development of the watches. They invite us to talk with the supplier. We check with them their carbon, the material of the sail, the titanium. And these are all the material where we took inspiration for our development. At the end, is also an opportunity with their speed, is an opportunity for us to test our watches, as I was saying before, in the toughest condition.
Oh, so you get feedback. This is great.
This is what we do for Luna Rossa, but this is what we do also, for example, with Italian navies in Sever. And now we are producing also a new series for the Marina Militare Italiana. We did for some special forces, a special department of the Italian Navy, like the Consubim, or we did with the Brigata San Marco, where we had also an experience with them. We get feedback because at the end, the watches have to keep the characteristic that make this brand unique. Reliability, the toughness, strong, tough, masculine watch. And we get feedback, and this is key for these are key features of the watches themselves. And half of my team will move to Barcelona in the next months, because now they are still, the Luna Rossa team is still in Cagliari. They are training there in Cagliari. There will be the presentation of the boat that they are going to race, because there will be the official boat that will be presented soon, that is going to be to race in the finals of the America's Cup. And half of my team will move to Barcelona. That, by the way, this year we will have also an opening in a few months, an opening of a monobrand boutique in Barcelona. The first.
Oh, great.
Panerai Boutique monobrand in Barcelona. So it's a good occasion, because this year a lot of things are going to happen in Barcelona. And we are going also to have an experience with client, because we developed a special tourbillon in Carbotech, 45 millimeter. So it's the first time that we have a tourbillon submersible, 45 millimeter in Carbotech, because till now the tourbillon was bigger. And on the submersible, we did just one. It was 50 millimeter, so quite big, let me say. Now 45 millimeter is for a human. A unique tourbillon, Carbotech, super light, super technical. And we're going to produce only 20 pieces. And the 20 clients who are going to buy this tourbillon will be invited to live this fantastic experience during the finals of the America's Cup. And I don't know if you know how it works, our concept of experience. The clients who buy the watch, we collect them at home from wherever they live, with a limousine. Then we have a business class, so they have a kind of business class or first class treatment, and it's all-inclusive package, including the experience in the location. This time it's in Barcelona, where they are going to spend time with the team of Luna Rossa, live their life, and discover, follow the race with the speedboat. Of course, they cannot race in the America's backup flying boat, but they are going to follow with the speedboat, and they are going to live 3 days of fantastic experience in Spain and Barcelona with surprises that I cannot reveal. But anyway, a lot of things are going to happen in Barcelona and for the America's Cup in the next months.
We're almost out of time, and I just want to ask one more question for you, and I want to thank you again for your time, Alessandro. And that has to do with the boutiques themselves. I've been to a few of the Panerai monobrand boutiques. There's more than one here in the Los Angeles area. And one of my favorite things is always seeing the large clock that's sort of built into the wall that sort of glows with the neon. That's a great thing. But as you said, the impression you make with customers is so important these days, especially new ones, and many of which may be learning about the brand for the first time by walking by a store in a shopping mall or a popular part of town. What should the first experience be like to you? They walk by the store, they walk into the store. You know, talk a little bit about how you are creating an experience and a perception for the brand before they ever put on a watch.
Yes, this is a long journey. As I was saying before, it could start also online by taking information on our website, on the social, on a different source of information. There are official, but also an official website with sources of information and communities. The beauty of Panerai that when you enter, you have this signature dial. This is our signature dial. It's very recognizable. And in the last year, we opened, you were talking about Los Angeles, but we opened in the last year, in June, our largest boutique in New York, in Madison. We opened other two Casa Panerai, what we call Casa Panerai, two-floor store, where we can offer an interactive experience that where you can feel the Italian hospitality in this boutique in Milan or in Paris, in Champs-Élysées, Milano Monte Napoleone here. And what I used to say that first of all, the boutique is about people, because the best experience that you can have in the boutique is because of the people. Because of the people, when you enter the boutique, starting from the buongiorno, the Italian buongiorno, that is our welcome. And when you enter our boutique, you have to feel special. And you have to be treated in a special way. And the new boutique, I offer the opportunity to have interactive spaces. There are boutiques where we do even flash masterclass, mini masterclass, where you can play with the movement, where you can brief Panerai territories of expression, like the world of the sea. You can brief, of course, the Italianity. You can brief the reliable instruments, the functional design. This is the beauty of Panerai. And when you enter to Panerai, first of all, you have to, the first thing is to, if you know about the brand, the beauty of Panerai, most of the time, the clients entering the brand say, I want the PAM 1312. So they come with a number, and this is something unique for Panerai. And then they say, yeah, I want to discover more about Panerai. So everyone has to be ready to say what Panerai stands for. Panerai is because people, sometimes there are also new people that don't know if the brand is Italian, is Swiss. So it's to be ready that is a mix of the Italian design and the Swiss watchmaking, that our manufacturer is in Switzerland, that we produce high-performing watches strongly associated to the world of sea, as these are mechanical innovation. Be ready to discover our world from Luminor to Radiomir to Submersible to Luminor 2, and to talk also about again, the authentic history of the brand, because we are here and we have this collection because we have to know where we come from. And this is something that I used to say also to my team, to the new people, before starting also with the product development, the marketing and communication. First of all, you have to know where we come from, because the history is the base to develop the future of the brand itself.
Thank you so much. I encourage everyone to visit the Panerai.com website. This has been the Superlative Podcast interview with Alessandro Ficarelli, the CMO of Panerai. Alessandro, thank you so much.
Thank you, Ariel. And it was super nice to talk with you. And whenever you want, I'm here.
I'll see you soon.
See you soon. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Superlative Podcast. This show relies on support from you, the audience. Please subscribe, review, and share Superlative with your friends. To get the latest watch news and enthusiast commentary, also listen to the Blog to Watch Weekly podcast. For show ideas, comments, or business, please contact us at podcasts@blogtowatch.com.